I enjoyed all the praise reports today. Amen. And God has been so merciful and gracious. Amen. As you all know, we got our loan approved. The only next thing is we have to get an appraisal and be praying about that. The Lord leads us to the right person so that we'll get approved. And I talked with the loan officer and everything is just going smoothly. I've talked with some of the contractors and starting to get things lined up. So God is moving. Isn't he great? Amen. Amen. So let's look at our lesson today, and this is part two. And there's really three things that Jesus gave, one of them being faith. He gave dominion or power, and he gave authority, and he gave faith. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And you're saying, well, that's not really directly related to faith. Well, I will show you in a minute. The Bible speaks about the fact that a lot of people have faith, right? You can have a lot of faith, and I keep talking about my invisible chair up here. You would need really some faith to come and sit in my invisible chair. But sometimes it seems that faith by itself doesn't work, and we're going to look at that. Why is it when we pray sometimes in faith, it appears not to work? And we're going to look at that. But the scripture also speaks about the fact that faith is absolutely, definitely necessary for anything to work, because the Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is. And not only that, that he is a rewarder of them that haphazardly seek him. Diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. You see, in our Bible study, we talked about, well, we probably didn't talk too much about Elisha. But he was determined that he was going to get the double portion. So he diligently made sure that Elijah did not escape him. Every time Elijah said, well, you don't have to follow me so close, he says, uh-uh, I'm following you. And so it was because of his diligence he received the promise. So again, we look at when Elijah prayed for rain, and there was no rain. The Bible said, how many times did he end up praying?
Seven times.
He kept on saying, okay, go look again. See, that is a testimony to the fact that if you believe it's going to happen, you don't stop until you get an answer. Amen? You don't stop until you get an answer. So we need, and it's absolutely necessary to have faith. Here's the scripture. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So the first step in pleasing God is just belief. We believe. Amen? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That means that he exists. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So belief is the first step with God. Belief. How many years have you been married now? Sister Cindy? Yes. 6 years. So 6 years ago, around this time, it was last week. What was your anniversary? The 5th? And I believe it was the same time my mother was in hospital. She couldn't come to the wedding because she was really, really sick. And in fact, she passed away, I think, was it the day after? 4 weeks after that, she passed away about 6 years ago. And when we were cleaning out the house some time ago, Yvonne came across a tape. And back in the 80s, they used to, from this church, put on a radio little Bible talk, and my mother used to teach it on the radio. And so Yvonne last night, we didn't plan this, she got the tape and said, because I was working on the Bible study, and so she got the tape and was playing it. And would you believe it was on the topic of faith? So then I said to her, well, what date is on that tape? And would you believe what date was on that tape? September the 13th, 1987. Now, let me tell you, we didn't plan that. She didn't even know the date on the tape. And it was about faith. So I'm going to play a little bit about that because it's some good teaching. But without faith, and I'll tell you this, my mother was a person of great faith. I didn't see ever much phase her. She would just point to things and declare things, and it would come to pass. If I have ever had any teaching on faith, it was definitely from her. She would just declare things. Those of you who knew her, they came and they pointed to this church and said, okay, this is what we saw in the dream. This is what's going to happen. And the Lord brought it to pass. So she was certainly a woman of faith. I really can't remember too many times. In fact, I can't remember any time when I experienced her declare any kind of doubt. In fact, if I ever said anything negative, she would correct me. She would say, no, you don't want to be saying that. That's negative. See, belief is the first step with God. You have to believe. And there's certain, it's not just believing in God. You got to believe certain things about God. Number one, you got to believe that he is good. Some people have this image of God as like a gray old man, just mean and you know, just wanting to, slightest mistake, judgment and lightning bolts. And that's a libel from the devil. That's a lie from the devil. Jesus, when the woman was brought in the very act of adultery, he said to her, woman, where art thou thine accusers? He says, there's none. And she said, and what did he say? Neither do I. That shows you God's grace and his mercy and his heart. See, in the Old Testament, see, what the devil wants to do is to compare us to the Old Testament. That's not what we are. We are a New Testament. A New Testament. We are redeemed by the blood. Jesus himself had to come to show the true image of God's nature. When his disciples, as we taught just a few days ago, wanted to destroy the city of Samaria, he said, you don't know what spirit you have received. He said, I have not come to destroy, but that all men should be saved. He came to redeem. So the first step in believing of God and having faith is, first of all, you got to believe that God is good. Now, some people don't believe that, believe it or not. They see things happen and they listen to the devil and they believe, yes, there's a God, but he's a mean, hateful God. That's why I can't serve him. No, God is a good God. The Bible says that he gives good gifts. Good gifts. If you have something that's bad, God did not give it to you. You went and got it yourself. Because my Bible tells me he gives good gifts. So number one in belief, it's not just believing in God. The Bible says the devils believe in God. But you have to believe that God is a good God. The next thing you have to believe is that he cares about you and that he loves you. Now that's the hard part. Because the accuser of the brethren will always throw your past up to make you doubt God's love for you. You know, to make you doubt God's love for you. But I tell you what, if you have had a good parent, you know their love does not depend on what your current situation. You know, I've said this many times in a courtroom, you could have the most worst serial killer. There'll be someone in that court praying for mercy. His mother will be in that court praying for mercy. You know, and that's how you have to view God. He is a God of love. That's what you have to believe. If you don't believe those two things, you're not going to get much from God. You have to believe, first of all, that he is good and that he loves you and that he cares about you. You see, I had no doubts about whether my parents loved me. I had no doubts about that because they had proved it. I don't have any doubt about the fact that God loves me because he has proved it so many times. He has saved me from death so many times. You don't want to hear all my testimonies again, but he has never, ever failed me. I have failed him miserably, but he has never failed me. So I believe that he is good, and I believe that somehow, I don't know how, I don't Only God could love me. You know, you've seen some babies and you say, only a mother could love me. You know, they're all pointy-headed and scrunched-up face. And the parents are going, oh, how beautiful. And you're going, maybe in some point in the future. You know, some point in the future. But you have to believe that if you're the child of God, he loves you just because you were born. Amen. But the Bible goes on. Last week we talked about the operation of faith, and I said you have to use your imagination as your faith organ, right? But God has also given us a measure of faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That means that we are born with faith. You have to do something to destroy faith in a little baby. Did you know that? As soon as they're born, they have faith that they can find that breast and it's going to feed them. They have that instinct. They're born with that. You have to destroy faith in little children. That's really, they believe you tell them there's a Santa Claus, they believe it. They wake up Christmas morning looking for their presents because you told them Santa was going to put a present there. Wouldn't it be good if we had that deep faith in God? That we were told he's going to give us and bless us and heal us and deliver us. And we get up and start looking for that. Amen? You have to destroy faith in a little child. That's why the Bible says, except he be converted and become as a little child. See, God wants us to have that childlike faith because it says here in Romans 12:3 that he has given to everyone a measure of faith. A measure of faith. But faith by itself, belief by itself, does no good. Faith only really brings its fruition if it's acted upon, right? If I get a letter telling me I've got $1 million in the bank, someone has just donated $1 million to me in the bank, I might get happy, but unless I actually go down to the bank and try and cash a check, guess what? My belief means nothing. So faith and belief only really brings a reward or is manifested in an action, right? You have to act upon your faith for it to be really developed or to it to bring forth fruit. The Bible says that he's given every man. So that we can't boast, if we do have some faith, we don't have any right to boast. Well, I've got more faith than you. No, the Bible says he's given every man a measure of faith. And in fact, not only that, that faith is a law. Faith is a law. If you didn't know that, Romans 3:37, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Now, what is the definition of a law? That's right. If law of gravity says, what goes up? Anybody ever seen that not happen? Well, even in space, after the satellites have been around up there many years, you know what happens? They start falling down. They may have been up there many years, but because there's just a thin, very thin atmosphere, it starts to drag on the satellite. And after a while, it may take 20 years, you hear about some satellite is going to be returning to Earth. So the law, a law is something that does not change. Otherwise, it's not a law, right? It's not a law unless it is absolutely solid. So when the Bible speaks about a law of faith, you should get happy. Because that means that there's something that if you know how to use the law, it's going to happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is why you can have people who are rank sinners have miracles. Because it's a law just like gravity. It's just like electricity. It's just like the Bible says that he sends the rain on the just. Since faith is a law, the fact that you have faith and the fact that you know how to use the law doesn't mean you're going to heaven. It doesn't mean you're saved. I don't know if that shocks you, but it's a law. That's why you can have people who have faith and they pray, and God, the law works for them, but that doesn't mean they're saved. The Bible says the Antichrist is going to be able to do what? Great miracles, that if it were possible, he would deceive even the elect. There's people who run after miracles because they don't understand that it's just a law. If you have faith enough, Jesus said you could say to this mountain, be cast into yonder sea, and it would go, because it's a law. It's just like gravity. It's just like electricity. And we're going to look at that. You're taking my slide. That is the reason why some people are going to go before God and said, but God, didn't we heal? Weren't there miracles? There's a lot of people who, under their ministry, there is miracles. That does not prove that God has his stamp upon their life. Did you know that? Just because you see miracles, don't necessarily think, well, that's all it. Because there is a law in process. The woman who got healed, Jesus almost had nothing to do with it. It was her faith, because there's a law. In fact, he said, who touched me? It was her faith. She expressed and used the law of faith because she said in her heart, if I can touch the hem of his garment. Do you understand what that means? And that's why I said we should get excited to understand that this is a law. And if you understand how to use the law, you can get things done. Mm-hmm. Right? She had faith. And I'm going to explain the fact that you can still have faith and sometimes not get stuff done. I'm going to explain that. But there is a law of faith, as we've just seen. That's why we can't boast. You can't boast because God just set it up. Right? It's a law. Let's look at this some more. The law of faith is what enables miracles, but miracles by themselves does not prove that you're, you know, all that. I'm going to play a little bit of what my mother had to say about this. This was 87, so this would be 28 years ago. And I hope I've got it queued up a little bit. Let me see if it's... I'll just use the microphone.
Only name given under heaven whereby we can be saved is the holy name of Jesus. Acts 4, verse 12. This name is so powerful, demons tremble. This name calms every fear. This name brings healing and deliverance to the sick and afflicted, and even the dead can be raised again by the power that lies in this great name. If I never have the opportunity to speak to you again, and this were the last thing I were privileged to utter, this I would say: have faith in the word of the Almighty God. Have faith in the word of God, for only his word, he says, he has put above his wonderful name. Let's read today from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, and the 7th verse. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found with praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. True faith does not flinch or stagger when suffering threatens to strike. or sorrow engulfs, or as it faces torture or rebuke or death, when it is opposed or stands up against wrongdoing or sin. Think of John the Baptist, who stood up and suffered imprisonment and finally death as he rebuked the adulterous Herod and Herodias. Nor does fate retreat or react to the fiery ordeal as something unexpected and extraordinary. Faith accepts the conflicts of truth versus error, right versus wrong, as the normal decisions and result each Christian disciple has to face to prove faith's genuineness and to demonstrate divine adequacy. These trials come so that your faith may prove itself worthy of all praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. In the sixth verse of 1 Peter 1, it states that faith discerns that manifold trials are always matched by the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Indeed, in verses 12 and 13, far from thinking it strange, faith embraces trial, and with joy it affords a sharing of Christ's suffering. Manifold in this context meant many colored. These complementary phrases indicate that there is no color in any human situation which cannot be matched by God's superabounding grace. And God's colors always match perfectly. Sorrow and suffering do color life, don't they? Said a friend to a sorely tried servant of God. Indeed, they do. And I intend to choose the colors, was the answer of triumphant faith. As faith that triumphs in the fiery trial is precious to God, more precious than perishable gold. Faith experiences her finest hour when hard pressed on every side, for she is best able then to demonstrate the utter and total sufficiency of her God. Faith is able to stand undaunted amidst the fiercest fire, knowing that she is not alone. If she must enter the fiery furnace, then her God walks with her in the flame. With both hands, she grasps the promise of the divine undertaking. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, the flame shall not consume you. Read Isaiah 43, verse 2. Again in Psalm 34, David wrote, "None of them that trust in him shall be desolate." There is no tension in trust. Trust precludes anxiety and worry. They are totally incompatible. The presence of anxious care betrays the absence of confident trust. Our Lord was the supreme illustration of faith as trust. Never once did he evince any trace of anxiety or wrong or worry, knowing that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Paradoxically, while faith inspires the most intense activity, it induces the most complete rest. The word says, "We which have believed do enter into rest."
Amen. It says, "We that do believe enter into rest." You know why? Because you have faith. You know, you've seen a little boy jump off of a ledge, you know, into the Father's arms. They just have faith. In fact, sometimes they're there trying to jump before you're there, and you are the one that is worried. Because they don't care. They just think, you're going to be there. You're going to be there. That's what faith is about. I'm going to play a little bit more because I just think it's just something that the date on this tape is September 13th of 1987, and it's about faith.
In Old Testament times, Unbelief hindered God's people from experiencing his promise of rest. Hebrews 4, verse 6 says, they entered not in because of unbelief. This rest of faith is attained and only experienced when the soul is brought by the Holy Spirit to the place of perfect adjustment to the will of God. There can be no rest when two wills are in conflict. It is not the rest of inaction, but of harmony in position. God's creation rest was not that of exhaustion or inaction, but the repose of complacency. He that transformed chaos into cosmos and rested in the perfection of his work. Hebrews 4, verse 10. In Canaan, Israel experienced a degree of rest never known before. Yet, it was only partial. It fell short of the divine ideal. They failed to dispossess their enemies. So the Bible says, there remaineth a rest to the people of God. A rest which could be entered upon only by faith and by ceasing from their own works. Chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. As God the Spirit rested from his completed work of creation, and God in Christ rested from his work of redemption, so the believer is to make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one may fail by following the evil example of unbelief. Faith is not always doing. Often it is resting. Resting on his promises after we have fulfilled the conditions. It rests on an indwelling Christ and trusts him to maintain that victory. Faith functions in cooperation with God. It is impossible to exercise faith for that which is beyond the will of God.
I don't know if you heard that, what she said. You can't have faith against the will of God. That's where the law doesn't work. You can't have faith. You can't be praying for God to kill somebody so you can marry them, marry their spouse. You can't have faith against the will of God. Amen. You know, people pray some funny prayers sometimes. Amen.
In closing, let's read Mark 10, verse 27. All things are possible. It does not say to God, but with God. That's a very different thing. To God underlines the contrast between man's impotence and the omnipotence of God. To man, with God, united to God by faith, all things are possible. This was Paul's experience when he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God demands the impossible of us. Did he not say, be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect? We can do all the will of God by faith. For faith makes his strength our strength. To you out there in Radio Land, who have not yet embarked on this highway of holiness and faith, I say, have faith in God as he invites you to choose to believe his promises. Turn from sin and repent and be baptized in the only saving name given under heaven, the name of Jesus Christ, which is given for the remission or the removal or blotting out of all your past sins. And the scripture says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen. I just think that is awesome. As she started to say that she didn't know when she would speak to you again. But I know this, that if we endure to the end, the same shall be saved. See, the law of faith was what she was speaking about, enables miracles. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, what does it say? Seeing their faith. Now, can faith be seen? Exactly, that's what I was saying. Faith has to be manifested for it to actually bring forth some fruit. You can say, I have faith, and sit in a dark room. Or you can get up and you can turn on the light. The Bible says Jesus reacted, or the law came into being, because he saw their actions. They brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus seeing their faith. So the law of faith is what enables miracles, but it is acting upon that faith which brings the law into being. Look at this. But Jesus turned to him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Again, we're talking about the law of faith. Matthew 9, 29. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. You see, there are, as I said, Jesus gave three things that are needed or necessary. He gave power, which is the ability. Then he gave authority, which is what is necessary. And then faith. It's those three things, when they're combined, are unstoppable. Some people have faith, but they don't have the authority. I'll give you an example. In the New Testament, the sons of Sceva saw the apostles doing stuff. They started healing people and casting out demons. So the sons of Sceva believed. They had faith. But you know what? They didn't have authority. So they went and tried it out. And you know what happened? How that turned out. That's what I'm trying to explain to you, that faith by itself is not enough. But it is one of the necessary pillars. You also have to have authority and dominion. So let's go on. Matthew 15, 28. Then Jesus answered and he said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. So faith has to come from us. Faith has to come from us. We have to believe and then act on it. And it has to be something that turns on the switch. I can believe there's electricity all day. And I can sit in a dark room, but until I get up and exercise that faith, my faith is not manifested. Luke 7:50. All of these are examples of the law of faith. There is a law of faith. There's a law of faith. And the law of faith, let me explain, operates separately, now hear me very, very intently here, from God. God set it up. God doesn't have to keep making gravity work. He doesn't get up every morning and say, okay, gravity, start working. Do you understand? There is a law of faith, and some people operate under the law of faith alone, and it does work. But as I was trying to explain, just because man can make a rocket and go to the moon, that doesn't mean that they are approved of God. So there is a law of faith, and then there is faith that operates under the authority of God and through his direction. And the two things are related, but not quite the same. The law of faith works, and here's a shocker, without knowing Jesus. You don't need to know Jesus to go turn on electric motor or start your car. Those are physical laws that God has created. As I said, God doesn't create the laws every day. He set them in motion when he created the universe, and they just work. So that's why I was telling you that when you run after ministries that just do miracles, you have to be very careful. And here's the proof, and this is what my wife gave away before I brought it up. Matthew 7:22. Many, didn't say a few, he said there will be many people. Many people will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Wow. You ever been somewhere and someone comes and prophesies on you? Again, that doesn't prove anything about their spirituality. Many have prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils even. Sons of Sceva tried, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And here's the shocker. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Isn't that amazing? It'd be like some great scientist who invented, an atom smasher or something coming to God. Look at the wonderful things I used your laws to do. Doesn't that make me saved? No. No. Faith alone does not save you, though faith is absolutely necessary for salvation. Verse 23 is so kind of shocking when you think about it. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. The reason is they have learned to use the law of faith. They have used, and people get deceived. They see these great ministries on TV, and then years later they find out that the head guy was committing adultery or was an alcoholic, and it destroys their faith because they had faith in the man instead of the God. You see, but so there is a law of faith that's just like gravity, that you don't need to have a deep relationship with God for it to work. But here's the thing that stops faith, as my mother was saying, is doubt and unbelief can stop the law of faith. Mark 6:5, and here's another shocking scripture. This is Jesus now, God in the flesh, God in the flesh. And he went to some place, and he could there do no mighty work. Isn't that shocking? I find that so shocking. Now let's put that. Is that our relationship with God, that sometimes he wants to do a mighty work, but he can't? And we don't understand that, we don't realize that, and we're expecting him to do a mighty work. But we have so much doubt and unbelief. As I said, most of the time when the miracle happens, we're shocked. We start going crazy because really we had doubt that it was really going to happen. So when it happens, guess what? Guess what happened? After he stilled the storm, they were all shocked. They asked him to do it. They were in the boat and they said, we're perishing, right? Please save us. And then he saves them. Then what manner of man is this? You know, that shows their level of unbelief. They asked him to do it. They had some faith, but then they were absolutely shocked when it actually happened. Well, we just thought maybe he would die down the wind just a little bit, or maybe the waves would go down a little bit. But you know what happened? There was suddenly just a dead calm. And the Bible said they started whispering to each other, what manner of man is this? As if that was the first thing they had seen. Do you know we are like that a lot of times? We have prayed and we begged God, please save us. Then when it happens, we are so shocked. Wow. Tells us where our unbelief is. Let this scripture not be fulfilled in our lives. I absolutely believe God wants to do a mighty work every day. Every day. Think about that. If you only get a mighty work once a month, that tells us how much we're limiting God to work, the law of faith. God could do a mighty work every day. See, I was looking for my glasses and I said, you know, maybe I'll do what my wife does. Because it always seems to work with her. She loses her keys or her phone. I won't say on a regular basis, but... I might pay for that later. But you know what? In her favor, she prays and she says, Lord, show me where it is. And I'm telling you, it works every time. I've seen it work every time. She'd been looking everywhere and she just says, she's done it for me. I forgot the last time. Okay, I lose my keys too. I admit it. And she prayed, and it was found. Like, so I went in there last night. You all saw me in the praise team, right, running around looking for my glasses. And I went and I looked in the trash can. If only I had done that first. You see, that's an example of how we are. We rely on ourselves, and then we get hopeless. Then we say, okay, well, then now let me see what else can I do. What else can I do? And I just went in there and I said, Lord, you done it for Yvonne. Lord, show me where it is. And I'm telling you, 5 seconds later, and I had been in that room 3 times. I had taken apart the furnace and looked all over, you know, but God was teaching me a lesson. And he could there do no mighty work. I believe absolutely God wants to do a mighty work every day. Imagine if you had a mighty work every day. Imagine as you prayed for stuff, it just happened. As long as you're praying according to his will. Remember what my mother says, you don't have enough faith to pray against God's will. But imagine if you had a mighty work every day. My phone would be ringing off the hook. Pastor, guess what happened? Pastor, guess what happened? Wouldn't that be great? God wants a triumphant church, not a weak church. The first church was a triumphant church, just the very shadow of the apostles. God is calling us to do our first works again. That's what he said to the church, one of the churches in the book. He said, do your first, I think it's the Ephesus. You've left your first love. Do your first works again. You know, Jesus was more astonished at people's unbelief than their belief. Twice he was astonished at people's belief. But more than not, he was always astonished at their unbelief because they had seen stuff. And yet when it came to the most of us, we've been through things already. God has already delivered us through great crisis. Then we come to the next barrier and immediately we're ready to stone Moses and go back to Egypt. Wasn't that the message last week? Why do you want to go back to Egypt? There's nothing good back there. There's slavery there. The slavery of sin. Don't be thinking it was better there. It was not. He marveled because of their unbelief. And so all he could do was a few mighty works. I believe God wants to do more than a few mighty works. He wants to deliver you and make you triumphant. He wants to make you victorious. Amen. That's what the church is supposed to be, victorious. So here's the thing. The problem is trying to use the law of faith alone. Because as I said, it does work for some people because they have faith. But for some of us, it doesn't work because we got too much unbelief. See, the law of faith alone, if you try and use that, it depends on your faith and how much unbelief you have. You say, can you have faith and unbelief? Yes. The disciples had been given authority, power, and they went out and they tried to cast this demon out, this boy. And they couldn't. And so they finally brought the boy, the father brought the boy to Jesus. Now the father had seen this boy throw himself into fits, throw himself into the fire. He had seen a lot of stuff. And what did I tell you about seeing stuff with your natural eyes? See, that tells you the truth, but it's not the whole truth. So when we see things in the natural, that builds unbelief. When we look at the impossible, that builds unbelief. Peter started to sink when he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the waves and the storm and the impossibility. You know, it's impossible. I cannot in the natural be actually walking on water. That's when he began to sink. So it's possible to have faith and unbelief. Because he had faith because when Jesus said, come, he did step out of the boat. It was a perfectly good boat, right? It wasn't sinking. And he stepped out into a storm with no visible support. But he was looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's the key. To not just use the law of faith alone, you have to look unto the author. Do you understand that? Only the lawmaker can change the law. Do you get that? A policeman can't change the law, only the lawmaker. The lawmaker can change the law. So that when Peter stepped out, he was standing, as I've said so many times, on that one word, come. Jesus, if it's really you, bid me. And I'm telling you today, he wants to do a mighty work in your life. And he's already issued the word. It's for you now to keep looking at the author. Don't look at your storm. Don't look at the winds and the waves. But it is Jesus, and he is saying, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 21:21, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not. See, if you're going to use the law of faith alone, then you're going to have perfect faith, and you got to be able to get rid of all doubt. Ye shall not only do this which is done to this fig tree, which we described last week, but also if he shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now, we don't see that happening too often, do we? Which tells us that we don't even have much faith, as a little bit of faith. So we need to make sure that we don't just rest upon the law of faith alone, because that depends too much on us. See, that's why a lot of miracles don't happen, is because people are praying in their own faith. Really, the statement says, have God's faith. That's what it says. If I try and raise the dead in my own thinking I'm going to use the law of faith, I probably don't have enough faith to do it. But if I'm having God's faith, if I'm relying on his faith, amen, the lawgiver can change the law. You see, a miracle is breaking of a law. Did you know that? A miracle is when a law that's never supposed to change breaks. And the only one who can do that is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Only he can overrule the law. Amen. The other reason we absolutely need faith is the Bible tells us it is a defensive weapon. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, don't leave your house without it. Above all, you got to take that shield of faith with you. You have to believe when you leave your door in the morning, I'm a child of the King. He's got this today. I'm facing some tribulations. I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill, but he's got this. You got to take that shield of faith. When you have that kind of belief and you trust God, it becomes a shield to you. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I heard a story about how that used to work, because the shields back in those days were made of wood. And you would think, well, if they fire fiery darts, the shield's going to catch fire. It's not going to be much good. But you see what the scripture says, and Paul was speaking about the practice. He says, quench. Now, when you quench something, what do? You put it in water. So how does the shield quench a fiery dart if it's wood? Well, what they used to do, the Roman soldiers, before they went to battle, the night before, they would soak their shields in water. Because that was how, when the fiery darts came, it was not going to do nothing to the shield, because that shield was thoroughly drenched. Your faith has got to be thoroughly drenched in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You've got to absolutely believe this thing. If you don't, even your shield may catch on fire. They would soak their shield overnight in water so that when they went out to battle and the enemy even tried to destroy their shield, the shield could quench it. It would just go, psh. You ever drop something into water that's a light? Psh. The water always wins. Amen. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You see, faith alone can get you a miracle. I've said that. You don't need to know Jesus to use the law of faith, but there is a better way. 1 Corinthians 3:12 says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. What he's saying is, we are building something with our Christian life. Did you know that? You're building something spiritual. It may not be seen with the natural eyes, but your Christian life is an edifice. It is a temple. And what he's saying is that tribulation and trial, fiery trials, is going to reveal what kind of edifice you have built. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. What he's saying is that you can have faith, but if you're just going to use the law of faith, you're going to have a lot of faith. But you don't have to just rely upon your faith. The Bible says, it's translated have faith in God, but really it's saying have God's faith. You have to have God with you. He promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. Now, do you believe that? Amen. It's really Christ's faith. If we try and use the law of faith, some people can use it, but poor me, I need Christ's faith. That's how I want to operate. Amen. Not in just the law of faith, which is not knowing Jesus, but you have to have the life of Christ within you. Then you can operate with Christ's faith. That was an excellent scripture. Let me show you something, why this didn't work the first time. See, I told you that Christ gave three things, but here it wasn't apparent that he was giving three things. He mentioned two things. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority. And he didn't mention faith. Power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. So now, you know what happened when they came across this child. They tried to use the authority and the power, and it didn't work. And when they finally brought the child to Jesus, and they said, well, why didn't it work? You'd given us power and authority. He says, because there was one thing you were lacking of the three. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need all three. Having faith alone only works if you're good enough to use the law of faith. The sons of Sceva didn't have that ability. So they had faith. They had seen it work, but they didn't have the authority. And so the devils came and said, well, Paul we know, and Peter we know, but who are you? They had faith, but no authority. You need all three. Amen. Now look at this. Here's how Jesus used all three. Mark 1:27. And they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned amongst themselves, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commanded even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. But it was as the scripture that my wife read said, we have to have Christ's faith with the authority and with the power. When we get the Holy Spirit, we do have the power. Amen? But as you saw with his disciples, he gave them the power. He gave them authority, and it still didn't work because there was one of the three things that they were lacking in. They had still too much doubt. They saw this fearsome kid throw himself down so many times, and it probably scared them. And they said, come out in Jesus' name if you want to. they didn't say that. I'm just saying. But it didn't work this time. And they couldn't understand it. And Jesus told them why. It says, because of your... See, we can have the power and authority, but if we are not operating in all three, sometimes things do not work the way we would like. As I said here, these had the faith but no authority. Acts 19:13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. They even said, in Jesus' name. We adjure thee by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests which did so. And you know what happened? The devils just jumped on them. They had faith, all right. They even said, in Jesus' name. But they had no authority. No authority. You need all three. Amen. You see, he explained this in Mark 13:34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority. Hallelujah. He said to his disciples in John, "Now you go to Jerusalem and you wait there until you be endued with power, dunamis, from on high." And he not only gave them authority, but he gave them dominion. And the third thing is up to us. We have to have Christ's faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope you understand why when you pray, sometimes it doesn't happen. It's not that we haven't been given authority and power, but we need to also have Christ's faith in us. We have the authority. We are the church of the firstborn, the church of the living God. So when we pray, we need to have all three in operation. It says, "And to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch." We have been given authority. And so now we have to use authority. The centurion, and this is the one of the two times Jesus marveled, and I'm trying to hurry. Matthew 8:9, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth." This was faith coupled with authority, coupled with power. That's why it worked. Do you get this? It was all three. The centurion was explaining, he understood it. "I get it, Jesus. All you have to say is the word, because I believe, and then I understand the authority, and I understand the dominion. Go, and he goeth, and to another come, and he cometh, and to my servant do this, and he doeth it." Jesus said, "In all Israel, I have never seen such great faith." But it was faith mixed with action, because he said to Jesus, "You don't even have to come. Just give the authority, and I know it will happen." Hallelujah. See, faith then is the shield, and the authority is the command word. And they were all amazed, Luke 4:36, and spake. See how many times they were amazed when Jesus did stuff? Nearly every scripture. And they were all amazed. Why? That shows you they had some level of doubt, because if they expected it to happen, they would not be amazed. What word is this? "For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." Jesus in Luke 4:8 explained, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve." Let's stand today. Today is New Year's Day. Today is New Year's Day. We may be entering the Jubilee, the 50th year. And if you, and I'll be teaching on this coming up, but in the 50th year, on the Day of Atonement, there was also a blowing of trumpets. This was the silver trumpets. And it meant all debts were canceled, all prisoners were let go, all land was returned. It meant freedom. If the Lord doesn't come today or tomorrow, it doesn't matter, because we're entering into his Jubilee. As my mother said, they that have ceased from labor, their own works, have entered into rest. And that's a rest of faith. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, wait in the city of Jerusalem until he be endued with power from on high." We have been given authority. We've been given dominion. Now we just have to understand and accept, receive the faith of God. Amen? And then if we have all three, we can put them to use. Hallelujah. God has called us to be victorious. Victorious. I want him to do a mighty work tomorrow. He did for me some mighty works this week. I have a same testimony like Malcolm. He's just given me great favor with the person at my work who actually counts. There's a bunch of people that I kind of report to, but the one that counts, he's the one who's given me favor with. And sometimes I'm just amazed because I really haven't done anything. I haven't done anything really in my view to deserve it, but God is so good. You know, they say lucky is better than good. That's a saying that the world has. God is better than lucky. When you have God, you don't need lucky. There's no such thing for the Christian. When you have God's favor, when you have his blessing, You don't need lucky. In my case, you don't even have to be good, though it would help. When you have God on your side, you constitute the majority. What I'm trying to tell you today is that God has given you a measure of faith. He's also given you authority and dominion. Let's put the three of them together and allow him this week to do a mighty work. Allow him to do a mighty work. Put down unbelief and doubt and say, Lord, do whatever pleases you in my life. Do a mighty work this week. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads at this time. Lord, we just